Says the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will God clothe you, you of little faith? And don't keep seeking what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and don't keep worrying. For it's the nations of the world that seek all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All circumstances, even this one, you ever ask God, what on earth are you up to? I've asked God that before. One of the most clear times in my memory when I asked it was when I was a senior in seminary. We had been assigned, I had just received the phone call telling me where in the country I was going to go be assigned to, what region we were going to be assigned to, my wife Carolyn and I. And we got the call telling us that we, who had lived in cities our entire lives, were being assigned to Western North Dakota. Yeah, I know. They said, God, what on earth are you up to? Like, I didn't worry about what I had to eat or what I had to wear, but I did worry about where I would have to work. When we face difficult things in our lives, things like taking on a new job, like moving, things like leaving a community, things like I'm going through right now, and so are all of you, thanks to me, and thanks to just the world. We can wonder, God, what on earth are you up to? When we have big events in our lives, big events, hard events like illnesses, hospitalizations, diagnoses, death, changes big and small, we can wonder, God, where are you in all of this? How are you a part of this? And sometimes when you're going through a big change in your life, people can talk to you and try to say helpful things. Like, oh, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about it. Maybe they'll tell you to go listen to Bob Marley. Don't worry, be happy. And certainly that is how some of the words of Paul can strike you. It's how they strike me sometimes. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Be happy no matter what, even if your life is hard. Just be happy. We know the big picture goals of God. Jesus says, seek God's kingdom. All these things that you worry about day to day will be given to you as well. And we know, if we are asked the question, we know how to paint the picture of what God's kingdom looks like. Don't we? We can fill in the blanks there. We know how to describe beloved community. We know what justice means. We know that Jesus comes bringing a word of salvation and freedom from sin. We know that the moral arc of the universe is long and that it bends towards justice. We know the big picture things that God is up to, that big picture kingdom. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, don't worry about the little things. Just keep your eyes on the prize. It'll all work out. But there's some small stuff that it really feels like, God, I wish you would figure this part out right now. When you're down in the nitty-gritty, the hard stuff of having to say goodbye, or, you know, having to pay a bill that you're not sure how you can pay, or when you face treatment for a disease that you're not sure you can cure. Hard to wonder. It's hard to see where God is in the day today. When you really get down in the nitty-gritty bits of life, it's hard to see what God is up to. It's hard to see what God is up to in all those little ways that we all experience in life and in the big things going on in our world sometimes. It's hard to see where God is at and what God is up to in the bombings of nations, or the collateral damage that results in the deaths of children, the hunger and disease, and the big things and the small things. It can be difficult to know what is the will of God. And when we have these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. It can feel like our faith is just something that's trying to smush us down to be these one-dimensional caricatures. The happy, sappy Christian. It's just always there. It feels very unreal. Maybe these words have more promise than that. Maybe these words that Paul has to share of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, are not some command for us, some really undoable command. Some command for us to deny the parts of our lives that don't live up to the joyfulness that we're supposed to experience. Not some command that we should leave our real selves at the door whenever we walk into the sanctuary of a church and pretend like everything's going great in my life. How about you? Maybe it's not a command for us to have to divide ourselves into the part that we bring to church and the part that we leave it home. But maybe it is really a revelation of the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, a revelation of God's infinite dream for each and every one of us. Maybe it's instead an invitation into really the fullness of life. Fullness that comes not through denying parts of ourselves, but by remembering the reality of grace, and grace that expands to all of ourselves. Maybe it's a gracefulness that can come, that we can live into even when things are hard. Not denying that they're hard or difficult or challenging, but that we can live into the hard stuff, the changes in our lives, the grief at saying goodbye, knowing that there is something more, not denying what is, not denying the hard stuff, but also not letting the hard stuff define us either. Because that's what hard stuff really tries to do. When we face something difficult, when a challenge and stress piles on, when depression or despair or stress tries to flatten us down, tries to tell us that you are just the result of the things that have happened to you. When anxiety tries to immobilize us. Or when consumerism and materialism try to convince us that we are only what we can purchase or produce. When the world as it is and all of the ways that the world gets caught up in itself try to tell us that we are less than. Maybe this dream is not meant to condense us, but is meant to expand us. Because really, it's all of these other things that want to tell us who we are and how valuable we are. Tell us that we are only as valuable as the kinds of clothes we can afford to purchase. Or only as comfortable as the amount of food that's on our table. Only as prosperous as our bank accounts show. But instead, when the hard things come, maybe this is an invitation to not let them have the last word. And so, rejoice always. Even now. Even now in the midst of change and hardship, not because it's not hard, but because there is a lot to rejoice about. Yes, in my own life, in this experience of having to leave this community after being here nearly 9 years, it is strange and weird. It's hard that we had to put forth a budget that said we need to cut down to one pastor, because that's the reality of where this community is. We can get down on ourselves about it. We can say, oh, the church is dying, oh, and there's nothing we can do about it. Or we can look around like we did at our annual meeting and remembering all of the fun that we had last year. All of the joy that we found in being together. All of the compassion that we felt as we bore one another's burdens. All of the support that is available as a part of this community and will be available as a part of this community, yes, even through this change. We can pray without ceasing, not retreating from the world to ask God to help us, but praying even through actively engaging in building the kind of world that God desires for us to live in. Living into the full people that God has made us to be, that God knows us to be. A people that can hold both the grit of life and the grace of God and hold them together. That can hold the scars of our past and the salvation that sets us free from being defined by them together. And in that, maybe then we can give thanks in all circumstances, even this one. So I think, you know, what God is up to, it's really about the fullness of life. seeking to liberate us from all the ways that the world wants to make us smaller than we are. And that God's will for us through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, is that we would know the fullness of life.